Hey dreamers, it's a new year. And if you're ready to take the next step in your interpretation journey, I want to invite you to the Breathing Underwater membership. This is a monthly subscription mentorship where we have live Zoom calls where we do interpretations of one another's dreams, we ask questions, and we seek God in community. We also have a private Facebook group with weekly teachings, as well as a one-on-one coaching or dream mapping call with me every month. Because we all need a little help interpreting our dreams, and I believe God designed it to happen in community. And it's just plain fun. So sign up today. We would love to see you there. We were designed to hunger for the deep things of God, to thrive on faith and wonder, to seek out divine wisdom that defies human logic. We were designed to unlock the mysteries of God. This is Breathing Underwater.
Well, hello, everyone. I am very pleased to introduce you today to a special individual. This is Rachel Bertelsen. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness, it is my great delight. Rachel is my cousin. She and I have known each other for many, many years, our whole lives, really. So like 25 years? We're both about 25. We've known each other our whole lives. We grew up in Montana, just at our grandparents' house, having a hoot of fun together, making up plays and dances and wearing square dance skirts and twirling around and putting them on our heads and pretending we were getting married, pretending like we were nuns. We had so much fun together. And Rachel just so happens to be also a part of the Breathing Underwater membership, because just in the last couple years, God has been doing a deep and quick, I would say, work in her life spiritually. I'm going to let her tell a little bit more of that in a minute, but I'm just going to get us started here, because Rachel and I have stayed connected through the years for sure. But there was kind of a season a few years ago where things were super dark, right, Rach? They were pretty dark for you. Mm-hmm. And she had reached out or something over text just for prayer. And I remember getting this, I would call it a righteous anger in my spirit over what was going on with you. And I literally felt the words, oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Not on my watch. This is not Rachel's portion, and this is not her season. And so God actually opened the door for me to fly to Colorado and actually physically enter into your space and interrupt with the presence of the Spirit. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Interrupt what was happening there and kind of introduce you on another level to life with the Spirit. Would you say, is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great way.
That's definitely.
And just teaching me to stand in my authority in Christ. I mean, just coming alongside me. Yeah, and just teaching me to use my voice in that more, and through the dreaming. Mm-hmm. I had a couple vivid dreams while you were here, and you did an interpretation, and that started my whole dream journey a couple years ago.
You're right. That was the catalyst. And I mean, Rachel has been growing like a good weed, like a real good weed, super fast, just in things of the Spirit and her own gifts and learning more who she is and deeper in the dream interpretation space. Because you've always been a dreamer, right? Maybe you just didn't know that God was. Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, I've always been a dreamer. At one point in my life, I remember I just recorded all my dreams because they fascinated me. And man, I wish I had those journals from long ago. But I have just loved being a part of your dream membership community. Just the beautiful people in the dream group and their giftings, and you are so in tune with the Holy Spirit, and your guidance in that has been incredible.
Thanks, Rach. Thanks, yeah. Rach. It's been so key to have you there, and your voice and your insight. I am really excited because in a little bit, I'm going to have Rachel share a dream that she recently had. We do coaching, one-on-one coaching, as well as part of the membership. And she and I had a call a few weeks ago where she was sharing this dream. And I thought, this is so stunning. I want her to share it. So she's going to be sharing that in just a minute and a little bit of the interpretation that she got. But even before that, Rach, I want you to share a little bit about the event that you went to last Friday, because as Rachel has been growing so much, her husband has been coming along and he's started to dream too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys have started to go to different events and stuff in your area. And there was a significant one she was just sharing with me before we recorded. And I'm like, oh man, God is in this. Let's share this. Let's talk about it. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. This was on Good Friday. So a couple days ago, we went down to Colorado Springs to, it was called The Gathering with Lou Engle, Nate and Christy Johnston, who are very powerful prophetic voices. And Lou Engle is going to be doing this kind of another big gathering in Washington, D.C. on October 12th, 2024, on the Day of Atonement. And his kind of vision was to gather 1 million women on that day, just atoning for the sins of America and coming into repentance and seeing God just moving. Then Christy shared a powerful dream that she had had. This was before she even met Lou Engle. And this was on, the dream happened on October 12th of 2020. And she had this dream where she was standing on at the Capitol in front of 1 million women. And Lou Engle hands her the microphone and says, "Prophesy, Christy." And all of a sudden, she couldn't prophesy because Ursula shows up and silences her voice. And all Christy could do was roar. Mm. And she said that she represented Ariel because it means Lion of God, the name so meaning. So she roars, and the crowd of 1 million women roar back. And she said it was like sound waves, boom, boom, boom. And just they all fell back. Ursula, who represents the Jezebel spirit, the husband, the husbandless spirit, narcissistic spirit, dissipates, and a gargoyle falls, which represented a principality, and smashes. And
super powerful. And I thought this was significant because we have talked a little bit about the narcissistic spirit on the podcast, and I've definitely used images of Ursula and that Jezebel spirit, yeah. Control spirit. And Rachel and I both have just life experiences a lot where we've experienced this spirit and have come through some real generational freedom from that as well. So maybe in another podcast, we can talk more about that, but I thought it was so cool and powerful how the image of Ursula kind of keeps coming up as this same spirit, and that it was the voices of women that she was trying to silence. And now I would say that spirit in general, it's not just trying to silence women's voices. It will silence voices of men too. I have absolutely witnessed this, but just even having you on the podcast and seeing where you've come from and what you've battled through, even before these last couple years with that spirit in particular, which we can go after hopefully in another episode, but now you using your voice to speak what God is showing you, I'm watching you do it. And it's such a, it just makes me passionate to raise up more voices that are getting free to speak what God is showing them, prophetic voices. And You are a very prolific dreamer. What would you say, just quickly before we go into your dream, what would you say are some ways that you've grown as far as discerning dreams and interpreting them and your relationship with God through that?
Through dreaming, it almost feels like my eyes have been opened to a whole new way of seeing God and how he speaks. And it's also made the Bible come to life in a whole new way, because I'm paying attention more to symbolism and metaphor and the prophetic, and also my dreams kind of interweaving into my waking life and seeing how God's using just testimonies from my dreams also to speak to my family and friends, and just him going after generational things has been a huge thing.
Yep.
And him highlighting how much he cares about the generational things in our family lines, and him breaking off false mindsets in that way.
And through dreams, you're experiencing him reveal stuff to you.
Yes.
Which is so interesting, because I think we so often don't recognize, oh, this is the voice of God in our dreams, right? We're looking for his voice during the day, which of course he's speaking then too. And he speaks through scripture and he speaks through all kinds of ways. But there's this chunk of our life. Actually, we sleep a third. We're asleep for a third of our life. So if we live till we're 90, you know, that's 30 years of our life that we're asleep.
Yeah.
Absurd. And that is, God is talking in that space all the time. And so as you are, I love how you were like, your eyes have been opened. As your eyes have been opened to his voice in the night season through your dreams, it's like, whew, it's like exponential communication. You're like, oh, there's the answer to that. Oh, there's the answer to that. Oh, he's leading me there.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one more question about this? When you're talking about how it kind of interweaves into your waking life, can you give me an example of what that might mean, just for people who are like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I think even in the dream that I'm going to share coming up here, just the message God gave me, I think just him, I can hear his voice through what he's saying. And also, like I said, paying attention to symbolism, like something that I see in a store, like an owl or something. And I'm like, oh, that I had a dream about the owls, and that speaks about the prophetic, and like just the patterns and kind of.
Yes.
Repeats. Yeah.
That's such a beautiful way to say it. It's like imagery that you have in your dreams start to become like signs in the natural
world.
And it's like confirmations or validations of that thing, or he'll lead when we're awake with the same things he was talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, totally. And Rachel is an artist. She's just an incredible visual artist, but also I would say craftswoman. She's an interior designer, but also she paints and is just highly creative and loves to host. So even more so, I would say this visual realm is so innate in communication for you already that it's so cool to see, of course, this is how God is going to speak to you through these dreams that you didn't even know for all those years he was speaking in. It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, I am really anxious to get into this dream because it's so beautiful. We didn't actually interpret this. Rachel interpreted this, which I know it's all the Lord. Like, you have just been leaning on the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to puff you up too much, but I'm just so proud about how you have grown, and really just your relationship with the Spirit has deepened, where interpretation is coming more quickly and you're just getting it. It's so, dang it. I'll tell you what, there is nothing more fun. This is one of the most fun things ever, is to watch people start to click and get the momentum in interpretation and hearing God's voice. It is so exciting. So I'm just going to have you tell the name of the dream, the emotions you had in the dream, the date you had the dream, you know, the typical stuff. And then I'll have you actually just read it. And then I'm going to ask you questions about it. And you can just share what God showed you. Sound good?
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, this dream is called The Wooden Fish. I had it on March 25th of 2024. My emotions were mainly positive. They were all positive. I dreamed I was entering a huge shopping warehouse that had tables set all over, reminding me of kind of a garage sale or a bazaar with mix of handmade items and other things. I was feeling really excited, almost having butterflies and a little competitive because I was one of the first ones in. I came to this table and found this home decor item. It was a garland of beautifully carved fish that were made of wood. I loved it and I admired the craftsmanship. I thought I could hang it somewhere in my house. Then when I lifted it up vertically, I was surprised to see there was a fishing basket attached to it. And it looked exactly like the fishing basket that belonged to my dad's grandfather. Mm-hmm. My dad still uses it to this day. There were a couple other men observing, and they looked like they would take it if I didn't. So I claimed it and put it in my basket and was wondering if I would have enough money to pay for the things that I found. So then I was in a ticket booth, what seemed like a ticket booth. My dad was outside of the ticket booth taking payment. I handed him a piece of paper that seemed like a check. There were two of these. I was so surprised and delighted that it was over $5,000. And I thought, wow, this stuff was expensive, but so happy that the check covered it. Then I handed him the second yellowish golden color paper. It had some information missing or blank parts. It was unclear whether it was something I owed or payment. So my dad said, just give it to me. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Then the second part of the dream, I went to a whole different huge shopping warehouse, even bigger than the first. Again, feeling the same emotions of excitement and competitive shopping. Then, so I was jogging, like walking really fast to the back. I wanted to get to where the jewelry was. I was on a mission. I was passing all of these old, there were tons of these old, unique designer, like a vintage handbag purses. They were beautiful, just so ornate. I admired the designs and embellishment. I got to the very back, started looking at the jewelry, but then there was this saleswoman, and she was incredibly kind. I could just feel so much kindness just radiating almost into my soul. Mm-hmm. She suggested I try on this purse. It was a rainbow crossbody bag. It had long hanging tassels and rainbow fringe on the bottom. I tried it on. I was looking in this full body mirror at my reflection, kind of thinking, is this me? And then there were a couple other women kind of looking and admiring. And that was the end.
Mm. Mm. I love it. I think I mentioned this before, but my first time hearing this, I don't remember there being kind of two parts to that one dream where it was double warehouses. There was, which even just adds to all of the doubles and things, which I'm just so excited about. So, okay, Rach, I'm going to ask you a little bit of what kind of you came up with, or you felt like Holy Spirit highlighted to you about different parts of the dream. Yes. Specifically, obviously you named it the wooden fish. So this wooden fish garland was kind of the key focus, I would say, at least at the beginning. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you? What was your sense of that in the dream and the symbolism?
Well, the very first thing I thought of was the story in the Bible where Jesus does the miracle where he feeds the crowd of the 5,000. And there was like more than enough and leftovers. And that he like not only fed them spiritually, but he cared about their physical hunger.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I just, you know, fish to me could represent like nourishment and abundance and provision, and like mm-hmm. Jesus uses so many fish references and stories in the Bible. Disciples cast out their net one more time and it's busting open. And then like personally, fish to me mean like I have just a really good memory of my dad and I have this tradition when we go to the lake in Montana to our secret fishing spot, and we catch these huge rainbow trout. Oh, rainbow. Yeah. And there's so many, and it's just like, I guess communicates like, I think of like intimacy and companionship, like with the Father. Mm-hmm. And just those special times with my dad are like so precious. And the basket, because it was my dad's grandfather, speaks of like inheritance, points to something generational. Mm-hmm. God going before me, mm-hmm. generational faith.
Oh yeah, it's good.
And the fish were like so just art, so much artistry and like just beautiful.
So beautiful, which I know is something you would already really be drawn to in real life, in the natural.
Yeah. And like my grandpa and my dad also did like wood carvings. So it reminded me of that. And like you had said, which I didn't realize or remember, that our ancestors were fishermen in Norway. Yeah. So much faith. Message in that.
Totally. Tell me a little bit about, if we can jump to the part about the booth and the money. Okay. Oh, this part felt so rich to me. Tell me what you felt God was showing you in that.
Yeah. I just felt like my dad represented God, my father. Mm-hmm. And I looked up, I didn't remember what Stephen, my dad's name, means. And it means crown or garland. Garland again. Crown. Yeah. But like crown, he was taking the payment, like Jesus taking the payment for us.
So good. Took care of
anything I owed.
Just paid in full. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
And a garland can be like a display of beauty. No, it's used in the Bible where the garland on your head.
Yes. Yes.
And the check, like more than $5,000, it's like another 5,000, more than 5,000, the same message in that, like sudden surprise provision, a double checks. Yes. I couldn't help but think of the golden check, or because I was in ticket booth, I'm like, well, maybe it's a
yes
ticket, like from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes, yes, that's totally what I thought of. Can we sing the song?
Yeah.
I got a golden ticket. I got a
golden twinkle in my eye.
We grew up watching that movie. Love Charlie the Chocolate Factory reference. I'm so glad you got that. As soon as you said you had a golden one, I'm like, I totally did.
Well, and then
what does that represent to you then?
Well, it just, like, Charlie won this ticket. He didn't just get the lifetime supply of chocolate, but he inherited the entire chocolate factory kingdom. So again, the abundance, provision, inheritance, and then like the Willy Wonka's factory, it's like reminded me so much of dreaming because of how imaginative and creative it is. It just sparks your creativity and just it's so bizarre. Like dreams. Oh, I was at a bazaar. But and Willy Wonka kind of speaks in the riddles and
he totally does, Rach. That's so good. That's so good. You really like whittled down in this and just like mined the richness from this, which is all a part of bigger overarching interpretation. I love it. Okay. I'm going to jump to the second part, unless there's something else you wanted to say there.
No.
Okay. So now here we are in the second one that's even bigger, another double, another abundance. Okay, we're seeing the patterns. And then you're heading for the jewelry, and this woman, this incredibly kind woman, interrupts you and says, hey, I think you should try on this gorgeous designer handbag that's rainbow and it's like a crossbody bag. And you looked at yourself in the mirror in that moment too, right? In the dream? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about that whole moment. Who do you think that woman was? What do you think she represented? And what do you feel like the bag meant?
Yeah. Well, the woman at first, I was like, she felt so kind. Like, was she an angel? And I told you, and you're like, I think she represents the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yes, totally.
Mm-hmm. Often, let me say something real quick on that.
Yeah.
I thought of that because, I mean, no one is more kind than God, right?
Yeah.
But then oftentimes those female figures in our dreams can represent the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, Holy Spirit is a spirit, but he's also a person. But oftentimes he is illustrated in image as female because the nurture, because of some more quote unquote feminine qualities, but it doesn't always have to be that way, right? Like, but often if you do see a female, especially that feels like a part of the Godhead, it's probably speaking of the Holy Spirit. Okay, go ahead.
That is so wise. Yeah, so the rainbow purse to me, rainbows represent promise, creation. You see a rainbow, you're just in awe, and it's just wonder, miracles. And then it was a crossbody bag, so I thought of like the cross over my body. And then purses can represent identity, because you keep things, your identification in the purse, things that are important to you and
come on
close to you. And then like looking in the mirror, I was seeing the reflection of like my identity in Christ and his promises over me. And it was reflecting back at me and reflecting like him to the other women, I think. And this dream just speaks of like his abundant kingdom, which is for everyone. There's more than enough for everyone. He cares about our families. We all get a golden ticket.
I love this dream, and I love how deeply it affected you. I'm going to have you share, if you're ready, the kind of overarching interpretation. So this is an exercise I do with people sometimes where once we get a lot of the symbols and it's already starting to take shape, the kind of bigger picture here, right? We've already seen these threads going through it. But what I think is one of the most powerful steps that we can do in dream interpretation is to then take all the symbols and what we have deduced they mean, what the Holy Spirit has revealed, and then actually from the perspective of the Father, create sentences. Basically, what is God saying through these images? So now that we have all of these things kind of interpreted, Rachel, what is the Father saying to you as it was a prophetic word, as if it was written down in sentences? So I had her do this in our coaching session, and this, it's just so stunning. This is what the Father said.
Yeah, this is what I heard the Father's name, which speaks so highly of him and his character. He said, "Rachel, I am a good father. I have gone before you and prepared your inheritance. Remember when I fed the 5,000 and there were leftovers? There will be sudden, surprising provision and double. I am the ultimate artist, and I care about and appreciate that you see beauty. I'm watching out for you and giving you a special promise for you to wear beautifully. And others will see and reflect my beauty. Love, Father God."
Tell me how, kind of summarizing it like that, tell me how did that help? How did that affect you? How is it to have that now?
It feels like such a gift to have that word. Mm-hmm. Like, I could keep this word and look back on it. It just feels so affirming, reassuring. I feel comforted knowing, like, God gave me this message. He's the provider. He's fighting for my provision and my abundance. He has his hand over my family generationally. Like, it's just, he used such personal messages to touch my heart.
You mentioned the other day that it even came back to you, like this word, especially since you'd written it out, the dream and this specific prophetic word, promise, revelation of God, of who he is to you, came to mind the other day. Like, you were battling some stuff in the morning, and I remember you going,
"Yeah,
Margo, I just remember that dream." And I was like, "No." And you like snapped back into authority. Do you mind sharing about that real quick?
Oh yeah. Just some doubts or some worry about like provision or some old stuff came back. And then I was like, "No, God said this." And I started just declaring what he said out loud, and it just went away. Yeah.
It was silenced in the face of this, in the face of the voice of the Father, which is what his voice and the prophetic words that we hold on to, that is how we're supposed to cling to them. Yeah. Because it is the truth of his character. It is the truth of what he's doing. And it became a sword in your hand.
Yes.
Yes. To actually battle with, right? That was victorious. And I just love that example because it's the perfect illustration of how God wants us to use his promises, whether they come from scripture, whether they come from his voice in the day, or whether they come from his voice in the night.
Yes.
That's exactly what he wants us to do with them. And Rach, I have seen you grown so exponentially in this over the last year and a half. It's just beautiful to see how you're wielding that authority. Thank you so, so much for sharing that precious dream that was so personal to you. All the little God winks in there of how you already love bazaars. And we have this total generational gift of thrifting. Let's be real. We're good at this. As well as the artistry in our family line and the fisherman in the faith and our Norwegian heritage and all of that come together around what matters to your heart too, and your identity as, even with the handbag, I thought of Joseph in the coat of many colors and just that favor, the favor of God and
so good.
A daughter of God, and how you're seeing yourself that way in that image. It's so beautiful and so personal, but I'm sure it's also speaking to others because you shared that with me. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I felt an impartation of courage. Thank you for bringing it on the podcast. I'm so happy to have you. Hope this isn't the last time.
Well, thank you for equipping the saints and for just you champion people, you heal hearts, you express how God sees them, and you're just an incredible minister. And bless you, bless your podcast, and thank you for having me.
So much, Rachel. On that note, do you want to say happy dreaming?
Yeah. Happy dreaming.